RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Sam Paniatovich on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
ILL. ILL. Studs, that's where you complete the spelling.
Oh,
on the other
I and I, sorry.
Yes, very excited. Studs is from Springfield, and he doesn't complete the second part of the trifecta. The Illinois Fighting Illini have won the Music City Bowl. Woo! David Alano kicks a field goal with 3 seconds left to go. Illinois 30, Tennessee 28. I had wondered. Yes, perfect. Full disclosure, I was once an Illinois football fan, and then after like the fifth loss in a row to Northwestern, I threw my Aurelius Ben jersey in the garbage can outside Soldier Field. So that's sort of where I'm at with my Illinois football fandom. I don't go back either. Once I throw the jersey in the garbage, it's over. I never lit one on fire, though. I did see a lot of that. Actually, Studs, I don't think I've told you this story because I haven't known you this long. I once asked Bears quarterback Jay Cutler, why do people burn your jersey? And his response was, it's not the first time. And it made SportsCenter. what a response. I thought it was a good question. And I was a little scared to ask it, too, because you didn't want to cross Jay. And you didn't want to cross Bears PR at the time. They were big sticklers on not, you know, crossing the line. But it was a fair question. Cutler had a bad game or two, and you know how it goes. I think at the time it was Snapchat or Vine, whatever the kids were using back then. And it was all over social media. People just burning their Jay Cutler jerseys. And I finally said, hey, Jay, why do people burn your jersey? Not the first time. So Illinois wins the Music City Bowl, 30-28. Illinois wins outright, and the total stays under 61.5, the closing number, 30-28. I asked off the top, and we plug this on Twitter at 670 The Score at SP Shoot, which Bears fan are you? And I gave you four options: deep playoff run fan, they'll choke horribly fan, they're lucky but fun fan, or build the Ben Johnson statue fan. That's where Studs is. Studs is a big statue guy after like 16 games of Ben Johnson.
I've seen enough. You can build a statue.
So the leader in the clubhouse of those four options, deep playoff run, they're going to choke, they're lucky but fun, build the statue for Ben Johnson. Option C is in the majority right now. 51% of you said the Bears are lucky but fun. And I asked the question, so I'm fully responsible for this. Lucky, I don't think, is a fair word. I mean, there have been a lot of games where they've been relatively lucky. But you also, in this league, you create your own luck. And when you find ways to win early in seasons, the belief escalates. And then the team starts to believe. And when a team buys in and believes, then they actually feel like they can win. And you've heard many people on the station from the Bears organization, whether it be a player or the coach himself, say, we believe if it's close, we have a chance. And that's what you want. I know earlier we had a caller say, I don't want entertaining, I want victories. We all do. We all want the team to be good and the team to win. But this team actually believes, and they almost did it again on Sunday night. That would have been the seventh comeback win for the Bears when they were trailing with 2 minutes or less. It's already a franchise record in a single season. And there's another chance to do it again. Now, an easy counter to that would be, well, why are they trailing in all these games? Fair. I think early in the year, they were still finding out how to win. But if this makes any sense, and please feel free to scold me if I'm wrong, 312-644-6767. I feel like coming into the year, Caleb didn't know how to win in the NFL. But here we are after Christmas. Santa came down our chimneys, left the gifts under the trees. It's only been a handful of months, and now it really does feel like he's found out how to win. And there have been a lot of quarterbacks in this city that never quite figured it out. And we don't have to bang the drum on all the bad quarterbacks over the years, but there were a lot of kids that came in here with a bunch of promise. Cade McNown! Hated that guy. Never liked him. Remember he used to park in the handicapped spot, too, at Soldier Field, and he wasn't handicapped?
I didn't know that, actually.
Oh, he used to roll up to the facility and park in the handicapped spot as the first-round pick of the franchise. I hated him, but I loved him at first because he was my first. He was my first Bears quarterback that I fell for. Some may remember their first crush. I remember my first Bears quarterback that broke my heart, and that was Cade McNown. But this Caleb Williams kid, he's special, and he's doing it on national television. He's making these plays and these throws. And if you're a Bears fan, you got a shot. In this NFC, anybody can take it. But my thesis, again, on the team is I'm in the bucket. I was in the I don't believe bucket. I'm not in the I believe bucket. I'm in the but there's room for growth there. So we got a lot of responses to that tweet as well. This is from Sal Capaccio, who covers the Bills. He's an ace reporter in Buffalo. And he's a guy who has been around Josh Allen since Allen got drafted in Buffalo. And Sal starts his comment with, as an outside observer, I vote number three, which is the lucky but fun topic. But I hate the word lucky. See, I knew it. Lucky was the wrong word. I should have said fortunate. Sal continues, this is found money for the Bears and their fans. They're having fun, and they're fun to watch. The real pressure starts next year. And then Sal says, enjoy it. This is from Adam at AOrphan67. The way this season has gone, they absolutely can have a deep playoff run with the right matchups. Anybody want to see a rematch with San Fran for the NFC title? Can you imagine if we get that game again? And, you know, people that listen to me on The Score and have followed me to Fox and Nesson and VSiN, I do like a wager from time to time. I think the Niners are such a good bet on Sunday. They're a home dog against Seattle. Yeah, I'll be betting the Niners in that spot.
They're really home dogs?
1.5, very small number.
I mean, I know Seattle has a good defense, but geez.
And if you have the ability to tease... For those that don't know, I'm not going to talk gambling forever. It is my life, but I'm not going to do that on this show. This is not a sports betting show. But if you have the ability to do a two-team teaser for about 6 points, you take San Francisco from 1.5 through the 3 and through the 7, that is an incredible teaser leg. I'm going to put it on you to find the other teaser leg. But I'm telling you right now, that will be one of my favorite teasers of the entire season. Going San Francisco from +1.5 to +7.5. But that'd be more fun, right? If they do it again, San Fran, Chicago. If San Fran beats Seattle, they're the one, Chicago's the two, and they literally control their destinies to meet again, to go to the Super Bowl in, ironically enough, Santa Clara, not San Francisco. It's like the New England Patriots don't play in Boston, they play in Foxborough. And the Bears may play in Hammond, Gary, wherever. That was a fun story the other week. I'm like, oh, the Bears are finally good and exciting. Here, enter Kevin Warren. We're moving to Indiana.
3 days before the biggest game in a decade.
Somebody muzzle that guy, please. He just can't help himself.
The only possible way that I think that if you're the Bears or Kevin Warren or whoever, there's only two ways why I can imagine they would do this. Either A, they're going to take advantage of the good press they've had, and they thought that this was people would be on their side and empathize with them, right? Or two, they thought, okay, we know this isn't going to go over well in the public. We're going to release this now, and in 48 hours, nobody's going to be talking about it, which is what happened, except for us right now. Because they knew that by Saturday night, for the next however many weeks after that till the end of the season, nobody's going to be talking about the stadium thing. So maybe they did successfully bury it under this successful season. Those are the only two possible ways I can think that they thought it was a good idea, though. That or just completely misreading the room.
That's the one. If I had a bell, I would ring the bell.
That's probably what happened.
I lean to the latter, for sure. Derek chimes in on the poll question, which Bears fan are you? Lucky but fun. Lucky because the defense can't get pressure and is ass. Can I say that? I just did. Too late.
Yes, that's fine.
But Caleb has the late game ice in his veins that Aaron Rodgers once had. Teams were absolutely terrified to give the ball back to Rodgers with too much time on the clock. And teams are now terrified to give Caleb the ball back after that throw against the Packers. I think that's very fair and very valid. And last one I'm going to read here before I get to my list of dinners that I've eaten since getting back to Chicago. I want to be C, which is, again, the lucky but fun category, but the double doink is still ringing in my head. I get it. I saw, as I got here today, I got here early, which I'm not going to talk about why. I was trying to book a guest that told me he would be here and then didn't show up, but I got here very early, and they were doing the meeting, the pre-show meeting for Raheemy, Harris, and Grody. And, you know, Grody and I go way back. We used to be around the ball fields together. We were sitting in the same row at Wrigley, and I'd see him at Hallis Hall all the time. Never saw Grody at Bulls games or Hawks games, but that's neither here nor there. So Grody sees me, and every time I see Grody, he just gets that Grody grin. You know, he just, like, starts smiling at you. And he's like, what do you think? I'm like, this could mean anything. What do you think? He goes, you think the Bears are going to win a playoff game? Bears. And everybody in the meeting kind of, Ryan Porth turns, looks at me, and I go, I didn't prepare for this question, but knowing Grody the way I know Grody, you gotta be quick. So I said, I'm thinking triple doink this year. And then Marshall Harris goes, so how does that even work? Does that mean post to crossbar to post? I'm like, I don't know. That's what I got for you, Grody. And we had a good laugh about that. But look, this team is legit. And most importantly, this conference is wide open. I know it's not about this year, but when you're this close this year, you got to do it. You got to go for it. You got to be optimistic. Because the Lions thought this last year. We'll get them next year. And now the Lions are dead. The Lions are out of the playoffs after being the one seed last year. The Washington Commanders went to the NFC Championship game last year. Will be back. Dead. You cannot expect to sustain success until your team knows how to do it. And this team is on its way. Sam Paniadovich with you on the score here. It's 8-14 in the city of Chicago on the score. Wanted to tell you about the opportunity to work with us here at the score. If you're a local business owner or employee, if you are, you can have your commercial aired during Super Bowl 60 right here on the score. This is your chance. We brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest, where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on the Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One. And this year, you can win a live broadcast for your brand. That's right. The Score comes to you. Log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter, write this down, January 18th. Score Big for Your Business is sponsored by People's Bank. Where better banking keeps moving forward. Member FDIC. So that's the Score Big for Your Business contest. Okay. I got back in Chicago on Saturday, December 20th. Drove back from Boston, stopped in Buffalo. And that Friday night, I took down 20 hot wings by myself. 20.
Hell yeah.
That's a good start, right? Hell yeah. Saturday, I go to the tailgate I always go to, which is my buddy Boots' tailgate on 22nd and Wabash. It's across from the White Castle. If you've been to that lot, it is the huge orange ambulance with about 8 grills running, full bar, the works. This tailgate had pepperoni pizzas, chicken caprese quesadillas, cheesy garlic bread, Vesuvio wings, rigatoni olio pepe, kind of like a rigatoni olio and a cacio e pepe hybrid, Philly cheesesteaks, and chicken cheesesteaks. Your boy went to town, Studs. Went to town. So that's day two of my binge. And since that day, I've only been eating one big meal a day. Sunday was barbecue ribs. This is the 21st. I'm going to just read you the day and the meal. Monday, thin crust pizza. Well, I lied. I ate twice that day. So thin crust pizza on Monday, followed by a ribeye and a twice-baked potato on Monday night. Tuesday, Cajun chicken and mango guac, followed by late-night thin crust pizza after late-night Jameson. Wednesday, I went to my Uncle Joe's. They do a Puerto Rican Christmas. Chicken thighs, ham, and Puerto Rican rice. I had like four plates of rice. Thursday.
Puerto Rican rice is amazing.
Oh, with the capers in it. Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable.
We had somebody, I can't remember who it was, a couple years ago, a listener dropped off some Puerto Rican rice that they made. Oh my God. It was so good.
I ate four plates of it. Thursday, two dinners for Christmas. Two. Had the Italian Christmas early in the day with a splash of pierogies, followed by family Christmas, where my mom decided, because we weren't all together for Christmas, we're going to do Thanksgiving dinner at Christmas. Friday, I decided, you know what? I need a break. No, actually, I'll have lasagna and garlic bread for dinner. And then Saturday, we will top this off with prime rib. Sunday was for the Lord and for vomit and barf. So I have been in the best shape of my 30s. I was down great weight. My skinny shirts were fitting. My skinny shirts, Studs, were fitting great. My suits were flawless. The button and rested. I am afraid to put a suit on. I no longer fit the skinny t-shirts. And if I can put a ribbon on this conversation to give you just an idea of how much I have gained since December 19th. I saw somebody in Buffalo that Friday night who said, "You look great." I saw somebody Sunday who said, "You look horrible." Now, he was kidding. He was being a little over the top, but I just read you the Rolodex of all the stuff I've done. So I'm telling myself, after tomorrow, where I probably have to get White Castles and drink a bunch, and then we'll see what happens on New Year's Day. After the first, it's back to normal. It's a small breakfast, it's a protein for lunch, and then it's a very small dinner with a protein and a veggie. But until then, look out, because I'm on a business. I sent you this list. I forgot how embarrassing it was.
You might as well turn into the skit at this point.
I can't, man. Well,
for the next couple days, turn into the skit. You know, you're here. Might as well.
I'm 6'2", 215 before I come back to town. I'm going to guess I'm at least 230. And I'm not even kidding. And I can tell because it's all right here. It's all like under my chin and on the side of my face. I will lose it. I promise you I will lose it. But I know we're all struggling with this. And then I'm just sitting around the house now. I've already had dinner. Oh, there's more fudge? Oh, peanut butter cookies? Oh. Nom, 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 nom. I literally did a radio hit the other day, and the guy called me and said, "We're 2 minutes out." I left the office to go eat pieces of dark chocolate peppermint bark before my radio hit. That's where we're at, Studs.
I love it.
It's a problem.
It's commitment right there.
I know you're all going through it, too. We're all overserved and overfed, and we need to get into the gym. And I just wanted to tell you all right here on The Score, you are not alone. Back with more after this.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure.
or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Sam Panayotovich on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
.825 in the 312 on 670 The Score. You can call, you can text 312-644-6767. I dare somebody to shoot a better list than that my way. Just crushing food the last 10, 11 days or so. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, by the way, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And the big topic du jour has been the Bears, and I've sort of taken two different roads on this journey together on a Tuesday night in Chicago. Do you believe, number one, and what's your favorite team? So I got a text from the 773 that says, great question. My favorite Bears team is 94. That's when I became hooked. So this guy, as I said earlier, Studs, got hooked by Eric Kramer. Everybody remembers their first Bears quarterback. For me, the first one I fell for, it took some time. I'm a White Sox guy. I know we're on the Cubs station, but I'm sorry. I see the city from the south side, not from the north side. And we always went to White Sox games. I was a White Sox kid. I was a Ray Durham, Frank Thomas, Robin Ventura kid. And then football started to get cool for me when I was like 8, 9, 10. And then they drafted Cade McNown. And I fell hard. Still hate that guy. So this texter fell for the 94 team with Eric Kramer. I almost said Cade McNown, who I fell for. See, Cade still short circuits me sometimes. I can't speak after I bring up that name, Cade McNown. Here's another text. 2018 is my favorite, but the 2013 season was the year I remember the most, and I've watched every year since. They gave up 55 to the Eagles in week 16, which gets forgotten, while everyone harps on Chris Conte against the Bears. Though Conte deserves it, just more classic Bear heartbreak. You know what? I forgot they gave up 55 to the Eagles, but I remember the Conte game because I was there.
Well, yeah, the way that Green Bay game ended, it's, you know, it kind of washed away what happened in that Eagles game. And it was especially because the Eagles game, yeah, they got pounded, but you knew that even though if they won that game, they would have won the division right there. But you knew that it's like, okay, well, they still have another chance to win the division next week, right? And it was against a Packers team that it wasn't Aaron Rodgers had been hurt almost the whole year, and that was like his first or second game back, and he wasn't 100%. So I was like, okay, they can beat the Packers at home, right? And then that happened. But it should have been, in retrospect, that Eagles game that they lost was a sign that team was not ready for the big stage.
No doubt.
Because they just totally fell on their faces.
I'm looking at this box score from the game on December 22nd, 2013. Eagles 54, Bears 11. Philly got 21 in the first quarter, and it was basically over then. Who had the monster game for the Eagles? Oh, this is Michael Vick. No, this is, I'm sorry.
Foles, right?
Yep, Vick is not active in this game. It's Nick Foles, who threw for 21 completions, 230, and two tutties. So that means they had a big run game. So, oh, buddy. LeSean McCoy ran for a buck 33. Bryce Brown ran for a buck 15. The Philadelphia Eagles had 514 yards of offense, 289 on the ground. That's how you give up 54 points. And then, of course, the very next game is the game that we all remember. That's the Cover Zero game, where Connie got the wrong call, and Rodgers had Randall Cobb on an island and just fired a laser. And that was a good game. I mean, the Bears should have won that game. Should have won a lot of games over the years, but 33-28, the Packers beat the Bears in that game, and Green Bay gets 13 in the fourth quarter. There it is, 38 seconds to go. Rodgers to Randall Cobb. I was there.
That was a tough one.
That was my first Bears playoff game. Well, technically it wasn't a playoff game, but it was a de facto playoff game, right? Because Green Bay won the division with that win. That was my first really, really somber Bears post game, December 29th, 2013, right after Christmas. And then the next year, I'll never forget, this was the 2014 year when they went back-to-back in prime time.
The bye week in between.
Yes.
The bye week in between. Yeah.
That's why I just laughed, because I forgot about the bye week. They were back-to-back results, but not back-to-back weeks. So on Sunday, October 26th, they went to New England and got dominated by Brady and Gronk, 51-23. Hit the bye, and you're like, all right, let's give the Trest Maniac a little time. All he needs is the bye week. They're 3-5. They're going to come out of the bye week. They're going to beat the Packers, and they're going to turn things around. They lost at Lambeau on November 9th, 55-14.
Wasn't it like 42-0 at halftime, too?
Is that really how bad it was?
I think it was.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. See, I didn't do the road games. I only went to the home games. They didn't send me to road games. I wasn't that cool. Green Bay 14 in the first, 28 in the second. That was the Brandon Bostic first touchdown. I'm like, who is that? They're throwing at guys I don't even know. Rodgers was a machine in that game. Aaron Rodgers had 315 passing yards, 6 touchdowns.
See, I don't think he played in the second half either. He might have for like a series, but I'm pretty sure that was all in the first half.
That was the end of the Trestman era. That was 3-6, and that was dead man walking.
He should have been fired the next day.
That guy hit the offensive line lottery in 13. Everybody was healthy. If I remember correctly, it was like Bushrod, Slauson, Garza, Kyle Long, Jordan Mills. Is that 5 for 5?
That sounds right.
It's definitely 4 for 5. I took a stab on Slauson.
I know for sure from center to right tackle, it was Garza, Long, Mills.
Yeah, and that was, so Bushrod came over with Cromer, who was coaching in New Orleans, and then he became the O-line coach here. And he brought Bushrod over, at least thought that Bushrod should be a part of the whole thing. But man, they all start coming back to you. Oh no, Cromer was the offensive coordinator that year in 13, but he was a line coach under Sean Payton. Anyways, the coach of that 2013 Eagles team, let's bring this full circle. Let's get this back on the tracks. Sam Panionovich with you on the score. 54-11, Eagles beat the Bears. Guess who the head coach was for the Philadelphia Eagles? Your new Northwestern Wildcats offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly. Because that's what you think when you think Northwestern. You think of Chip Kelly. Whew. Does he need the money or what? I mean, come on. What are we doing? You're going to Northwestern? Do they even have the players to fill what he wants to do? And there's a guy that's not easy to work with. David Braun was on the score this morning on Mullion Haw. So, are you ready for the cuts here? Let's play the first cut of Coach Braun on the score this morning.
I think it definitely changes the players that we attract, and also provides like this incredible opportunity for our current players to really look at this as an opportunity to continue to evolve and grow. What I do know is, you know, when I think of Chip Kelly offense, I ultimately revert back to his time at Oregon, and that was spread and tempo and, you know, very explosive. But ultimately, they found a way to, like, consistently run the football in really creative ways. And then you look at UCLA. It looked different at UCLA, and that was based on the personnel. And then you looked at Ohio State. Ryan Day had been a tempo operation, and under Chip, they were way more huddle, way more ball control, just ultimately finding the way to play complementary football and eventually win a national championship. To me, that shows the innovator, the creative mind that he is, and the understanding of a viewpoint of, like, how do we win games? And ultimately, if we want to win a Big Ten championship, we need to score more points than we have been, you know, over the course of the last 3 or 4 years on offense at Northwestern. And Chip's the guy to lead that charge. What's going to be fun for him and fun for that offensive staff and fun for me and all of us is to figure out what complementary football looks like in 2026 for the Cats, to position ourselves to compete for a Big Ten championship. And it may look a little different in 2026 than it does in 2027, but when you have an open-minded, creative mind running your offense that's done it and proven they can do it in different ways, that really excites me for the future of our program.
Nothing gets me going like complimentary football. That is such a Northwestern response. And I like David Braun. I'm a fan. What he took over, what he has built there, it's been impressive because they lost everything. And you know why it happened and you know when it happened. And David Braun, you know, the early plan for David Braun was to make him the interim guy. And he impressed the powers that be in Evanston. And now he's going to go with Chip Kelly. Here's my very quick two cents. Chip Kelly is only as good as the players at his disposal. And I know what you're thinking. That's a lot of coordinators. But I'm sorry. Like, Northwestern faces Oregon. Are the Wildcats, or as I call them, the Kitty Meows, are they ever going to have the players that Oregon gets? USC, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan? Probably not. So Chip is going to have to run that speed run with guys that aren't the fastest, guys that probably aren't going to go to the NFL. Now, Northwestern has turned out a couple really good offensive linemen. Let's give them full credit there. I mean, there are some good linemen. And, you know, the Cats have done a good job of keeping those Illinois big boys in their home state. That's where you start. But, like, when I think of Chip Kelly, I think of Oregon, NFL speed. And I think of, honestly, what he did last year at Ohio State. And, you know, depending on who you ask, Chip Kelly wasn't calling the plays in the playoff when Ohio State turned it up a notch. Ryan Day said, all right, we're going to throw the ball to our NFL receivers. Carnell Tate, one of them. Carnell Tate, by the way, started his high school career at Marist on the south side. And he wowed some people and then ended up at IMG, as they all do. Oh, you're good? Oh, want to come to IMG and play? So there are three prominent names in the college football playoff the next couple days. You got Tate at Ohio State, who is a first-round pick. He, again, started at Marist and then finished at IMG. Now he's at Ohio State. And then two kids from Miami. You've got defensive tackle Justin Scott, who played at St. Ignatius on Roosevelt Road over by UIC. And then you've got Marquise Lightfoot, who played at Southside Power Kenwood. He's on Miami's D-line as well. So it's nice to look up in the playoff and see kids from Chicago playing for a chance to go to a championship. We have a second cut from Northwestern coach David Braun about this being a high-risk, high-reward hire, Chip Kelly coming to Northwestern.
At the end of the day, you're right. I think it would be easy in my position to view this as, oh, you know, is Chip the right fit? Is he the right fit for the culture? Does he really want to be here? And that's why it was so critical that he and I spent so much time together and, you know, really dove into this. And, you know, number one criteria that I look at when hiring staff, regardless of position, is, you know, we're looking for individuals that are low ego and high output. And as I got a chance to spend time with Chip and talk with people that have worked with Chip, he's all of that and more. He doesn't come with ego. He loves coaching football. He's driven to do things at an extremely high level in terms of what he's been tasked with. And the thing that's so neat to see is what he did at Oregon, what he did at UCLA, you know, what he did with the Eagles offense, what he did at Ohio State. It didn't all look the same. He has an incredible knack to understand the strengths of the personnel and put those young men in positions to thrive. And ultimately, you know, as a head coach, you want to surround yourself with a staff that's going to bring a ton of value. You know, you want guys in the room that are smarter than you, more experienced than you, and it's your job to create alignment, learn from every individual in the room, and show up at your best as the head coach and position the program for success on and off the field. And I know Chip Kelly's going to provide that for this program.
That is the very optimistic way to look at it, for sure. That's why you bring him in, because he has won at a lot of places and he's done some big things. I also noticed that he didn't really work out in Vegas, right? We want to talk about Oregon and Ohio State, but the last stop was not great. And if you know anything about Chip Kelly, he is somebody who likes to control things. He likes to be in charge. So David Braun's going to have to worry about the defense, and Chip Kelly worry about the offense. Kind of like in San Francisco. All right, Kyle Shanahan, you run the offense, and then defense, Robert Saleh, you got it. Make it work. That's the only way this works. If Braun and Kelly start exchanging, you know, bad words at each other, I don't know how that's going to go. But that's the risk you take. David Braun, 3 years at Northwestern, 8-5, 4-8, 7-6, but they ended their season in a big way. They absolutely pounded Central Michigan in that bowl game, 34-7. And now they are turning the page next year with Chip Kelly. This is 670 The Score. When we come back, we'll put a ribbon on the show. We'll get to some final text messages. And I've got a college football playoff bet that I really want to share with you. That's next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Sam Paniatovich on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Final live segment of Chicago content here on The Score, and then the Mulligan Haw pregame show tomorrow at 5. Mulligan Hoff, 5:30 with a couple guest hosts. Before we talk about this Notre Dame situation with Marcus Freeman back and a college football playoff bet that I think you really should consider, Studs has some news on the Chicago Bulls.
Yes, so breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating moments. So, unfortunate news for the Bulls. Shams Charania tweeted just a few minutes ago that Josh Giddey has a left hamstring strain and will miss at least a few weeks.
That's not good. You know, they don't play any defense, so they need scoring and creating, and that's what he's very good at. So yes, I agree, Chuck. I agree. That is not what you want. No,
and not good anyway.
They started so well, and then
that 6-1 start was fun. It was nice to think, oh, maybe they won't be terrible, and then
you said it, not me. If anybody's wondering.
I'm not saying I was buying in, but I was like, oh, maybe they'll actually be like the sixth seed in the East. You know, they won't have to do the play-in. That'd be a nice step forward.
I will say the Giannis dunk and how upset they got to me was very funny.
Me too.
I like, if you're upset about that, there are bigger issues than that, than your division rival doing a windmill. I think there are other things that should be pedestaled there. I'm excited, though. I'm excited for this playoff. And, you know, a lot of people, I do some work for Fox Sports, and we do a show on FS1 called Bear Bets, and I also host Chicken Dinner with Joe Ostrowski, who spent a long time here at The Score and with the Odyssey family. And if you're looking for a sports betting show, I highly recommend that you check out Chicken Dinner on YouTube, Apple, Spotify. We've been talking a lot of college football for months. You know, this is sort of that cocoon I live in from August through December. It's football, football, football. And twins. I'm in a football bubble. And I've heard a lot this year about how the playoff needs to be 16 teams or 24 teams, and I wholeheartedly disagree. If you would have taken James Madison and Tulane and combined them, Notre Dame would have old yellered them. And I'm not a Notre Dame guy. I did grow up here in Chicago, very close to the border on the southeast side, 113th and Ewing. I was never a Notre Dame guy. I have friends who are huge Irish fans, and they are still making excuses about Notre Dame and this and that, and they should be in. I agree, they should be in. Because the way that they finished, to me, was more important than how they started. But I will be looking long and hard next year at Notre Dame title futures in the summer. And again, I'm not a Notre Dame guy. I'm not an apologist. I'm not a fan. I could care less. My job since moving to Vegas in 2018 has been to find bets that put you in a good spot. And last season. Who am I kidding? Last season, Joe and I said before the playoff, bet Ohio State to beat Notre Dame. It was 25-1. And Ohio State beat Notre Dame. I'll tell you what, though, next summer, I'll be betting Notre Dame to win the whole thing. That quarterback, CJ Carr, is a top five pick. And this season was his first lick of action in the college ranks. He struggled in that first game against Miami, in the rain, in South Beach, on the road. Notre Dame still could have won that game. And then they had the botch snap in week 2 against A&M. That shootout game they lost to the Aggies in South Bend. 0-2, they win 10 straight. I know they didn't play the greatest schedule, but that team got so much better because the quarterback figured out his role. And with Love and Price, the running game was awesome. The O-line was great. The defense figured a lot of things out. They should be in the playoff. I don't need expansion. I need the best teams in the playoff. Like, miss me with the 16, 24, 32 team. Do not care. I've seen enough of the little guys get trampled. And with Marcus Freeman back, that is a national title contender next year. And the price is not going to be big. You're going to get maybe 12-1. But I would make that bet. When they put that book up in April, actually, some books will have it up earlier than that. Some books, hell, they might have it up after the title game at the end of January. But I would be looking at a Notre Dame bet. Another bet I like, I was texting with some buddies who bet professionally in Vegas. I said it first. I said to my buddy Vegas Rick, I said I really like Indiana against Bama. And I bounce a lot of things off of him. He bets for a living. He does it at high numbers and big limits. I said I really like Indiana against Bama because I don't think Bama can run the ball. And Bama had like 40 rushing yards against Oklahoma in the playoff game. He said, I love Indiana. And you're going to see a lot of game day action. People are going to log into their phones and walk into the casinos and sports books, and they're going to see on the screen that's all lit up and fancy lights. Oh, Alabama's getting 7 against Indiana? That doesn't make sense. Pow. And I think Indiana is going to destroy them. That's a hot take, but I am putting my money where my mouth is on Indiana to cover the 7 against Alabama. Maybe you get a 6.5 day of the game if that Bama money does come in, but I think Indiana is a complete team, and this is not your older brother's Alabama team with Nick Saban and paying players when nobody else was paying players. The field is evening out. And also, Studs, there's a reason that Nick Saban decided to retire. He realized that everybody else was catching up. And he's like, I'm going to go on TV now. So that's my advice for you. I would love a follow on Chicken Dinner. We're on Twitter. We're on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. And again, Marcus Freeman, that team next year at Notre Dame is going to go 11-1, 12-0, and they're going to be very, very real. Very real. One stat boy note here from the 702. Thank you for the correction. You know, all these games and years run together. I brought up Jackie Robinson West. We were talking about public high schools and private high schools and all the arguments inside and relocations and transfers and all that. And I had said that Jackie Robinson West came in third. I was mistaken. The 702 texted in, and I appreciate the text. Jackie Robinson West won the U.S. championship over Nevada, then lost to Korea in the world championship, which I have verified that is 100% factual. They were then stripped of the U.S. title that went to Nevada. This person lives in Vegas and is from Chicago and wanted to let me know that Jackie Robinson West did win the U.S. title, but because of all the allegations and all the things that were proven there, they had to lose the title, which went to Nevada. Adam Studzinski, it was a pleasure, good sir. Thanks for doing this with me tonight.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
Got the thumbs up. I'm Sam Paniatovich. Follow me on Twitter at SP Shoot. Chicago programming back tomorrow. 5 bells. We'll see you then.
That's it. You people have stood in my way long enough. I'm going to Clone College.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.